Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of And Then There's That, a bi-weekly podcast of people, politics, and punditry in Howard County on the HOCO Mojo Network. I'm Paul Scalney, and I'm here at the Mall in Columbia with my co-host, Dennis Lane. Joining us today is Rachelina Bonacci, Executive Director of Howard County Tourism and Promotion. But as always, we first like to take a look at some of the news making the headlines this week. Dennis, you've got a lot on your plate to get us started today.
Well, it's a big news week in Howard County. I mean, the earth-shattering, unprecedented news from the school board that they voted to censure and recommend to the State Board of Education the removal of Alan Dyer.
That's a tragedy. Poor Alan. All he wants to do is serve the people.
Yeah, right. My kind of cut on is Alan Dyer wants to stay in the center of attention. I wonder if he's an only...
You think he's narcissistic a little bit?
I don't know. And, you know, we're going to try to get him on. I think that would be a good idea.
We are.
Yeah.
Can't decide who's going to make the ask.
If you've read my blog, you know I poked a lot of fun at the man. And, I mean, I think that he's been a distraction. The school board... And I love how people who support him, and they say, well, it's kind of... Everybody in the school board is kind of against him. Well, that assumes that all the other members think of like mind. I mean, I think that there are, if you talk to each of those other members of the board, they all have their own ideas about how things should be done. But they've learned how to come together and to work as a group for the betterment of the schools and the system. Well, Alan always sits there on the end. Every time he brings something up, he's voted, you know, it's like a 7-1 vote. And when he doesn't get his way, when he puts forward an initiative, he just goes ahead and gets voted down. He just goes ahead and does what he wants anyway.
Look, I'm all about the democratic system, and I mean, there are plenty of people in our state legislature and in our federal legislatures that don't get their way and act inappropriately or push the limits. The question is he pushing the limits in a way that are even more inappropriate or such that warrant him acting like a baby?
You know, and I think it's your, I would say the baby part. I think it's your fiduciary duty once you get on a board is to work with the other board members for the betterment of the system that you're directing. I mean, isn't that?
But isn't that what he's trying to do? Well, and I'm not defending him. I think the democratic system allowed him to get elected, and here he is.
They did, and that's a slippery slope, you know, to vote out somebody that the people have elected. I mean, that where do they get that authority? Well, you know what? We have the authority to do it with the President of the United States so that we can impeach. I mean, we do have systems in place to get rid of badly elected people.
And, in fact, he's quoted as in the papers having said, it's crazy to see the board interfere with the relationship between the voters and myself because they have that same relationship.
I would, you know, and you got to wonder, did people know he was going to be like that when they voted him on the board? I mean, this really comes down to the central issue. How many people pay that close attention to these school board races? It's bad enough they don't even know who their county council people
are. I mean, Congressman Weiner was forced to resign for lesser issues.
He was? How much lesser? I saw the pictures. Was it? Let's not go there. Oh, my God. You set me up. I could have had so much fun with that. But, you know, he's really kind of been a pain in the, you know, whatever. Pain in the ash?
Pain in the ash? There it is, Dave. Dennis's first transition. So speaking of ash holes, is that what you're trying to get me to say?
Yes, speaking of ash holes.
So the stink bugs have been replaced by emerald ash borers.
The emerald ash borer.
Yes, the emerald ash borer, an invasive Asian insect deadly to ash trees, has come to Howard County.
Yeah, it's threatening our ash trees in Howard County. That's a horrible thing. And
which is really going to interfere with people's ability to swim.
Because it'll take away the shade. That was good. I don't know if it was good, but it was a nice try.
No, seriously. So also in the news is a story that's gotten a lot of press this week, and it has to do with a new bill that was introduced by Courtney Watson, Howard County Council.
And Greg Fox.
And Greg was a co-sponsor, I believe. Right. She was the lead sponsor. And the bill purports to give tax breaks, property tax breaks, to private swim clubs.
Private schools, right. Give them a break on paying their property taxes. Correct.
And I guess the theory is they're struggling. They're having a hard time. The county doesn't provide the same amount of recreational facilities in Howard County as perhaps some other counties, and therefore we should give them a break.
You know,
this might be the first and only issue that Chris Oxenham and Courtney Watson will ever be on the same side of.
Well, yeah, Chris Oxenham. We did invite him to be on the show today.
It was a late invite.
Late invite, but Chris is all for this. He thinks that we should be giving these tax breaks to these swim clubs, and, you know, number one issue, we have very tight budget times in the county. I don't believe we should be taking anything.
Well, we're not acting like that. We talked about this a couple shows ago when we had candy for everybody.
Candy for everybody. Well, it's got to stop. Where in the county charters it said we have to provide swimming pools for everybody?
It doesn't. And you and I talked about this over lunch. You know what? Some people like to swim. Other people like to play tennis. Other people like to play basketball.
Ice skate.
Why are we carving out swim clubs?
Swim clubs.
And by the way, swim clubs that are not in Columbia. Why are we carving out swim clubs as the beneficiaries of property tax breaks as opposed to other recreational facilities? Everyone's got their own idea of what recreation means.
Well, now in her defense, Courtney has reached out to the Columbia Association to see if they could include their pools, but that even makes it worse. I mean, now instead of a count...
What's it going to cost us now? We're
exactly.
From six pools to 26 pools.
And where do you stop? I mean, now, but and if it does go through, I've determined what I'm going to do. I'm going to form a swim club.
Which is just going to be a baby pool in your backyard.
Yeah, because I don't think the legislation says that a swim club has to actually have a pool.
Right, so we can have swimming exercises or a baby pool.
Or just a club of people who like swimming.
As long as we set up a nonprofit.
So I'm going to set my house up as a private, Ellicott City Swim Club, and I'm going to apply for a tax break.
You know, so on a related story, the owner of Podonia Club in Baltimore County was actually charged with in a child porn case.
Yes.
And while I know that's Baltimore County, and here we're talking about Howard County, I couldn't help but wonder whether a board member was engaging in inappropriate porn behavior here, if that would somehow negate the ability for that swim club to get a property tax break.
I don't know. But, you know, while we're on the subject of pools and fish, that was a transition. Not a good one, but Merriweather, where Fish recently performed, was recognized by, the organization? PasteMagazine.com. Recognized Merriweather Post Pavilion as the number four.
Just cut to the chase. Howard County got another accolade.
Well, Howard County, but it's not just Howard County. Poor Merriweather.
Poor Rachel Lena. She can't even keep track of them all. She has a whole database now.
She does. But, you know, here our wonderful Merriweather Post Pavilion, the fourth, let me see how I said it.
The outdoor.
Best, number four outdoor concert venue in the country. Nissan Pavilion was not on this list. So, I mean, it's kind of interesting to see that Merriweather, who myself had written the obituary of years ago, thinking that it had gotten outmoded. People were saying Nissan Pavilion in Virginia is just going to take all the way the big shows, and Merriweather's outlived its usefulness is now.
Well, and to the credit of County Executive Allman, he really championed that effort many years ago.
He did.
Gene Parker's done a tremendous job at the helm at Merriweather, and they've really done a tremendous job in rekindling that place.
Ian Kennedy and the Save Merriweather group that right. They got behind that, they all did a wonderful job. And yeah, and you're right. And IMP Productions, who are running things out there, they have the place.
Hurwitz,
the place is doing great. And recently, they, as I alluded to earlier, when they're trying to make the transition between pools, Fish performed there during the same weekend as the Columbia Lakefront Festival. As a matter of fact, our producer was approached by some people down at the Lake Fest asking if this was Merriweather. Dude, where's Merriweather? And which, of course, leads to the other story. Again, 24 arrests at a Fish concert at Merriweather.
And then there's that.
Well, and then there's that. As Kelly Woodhouse leads...
Is that last year's story or this year's story?
Well, yeah, I'm sorry. As Kelly Woodhouse leads off in her article in Explore Howard, she goes, it's becoming a tradition. Arrest at a Fish concert. Anyway, and speaking of arrest, now, this is kind of a sad story, but, I mean, a woman was indicted on four counts of attempted murder. But if you just leave it, the headline, it's kind of sad. When you read the story, it gets ridiculous. It turns out that this this woman, Brittany Breeden, Brittany Young. Brittany Young of Inwood, West Virginia.
It's an interesting city name for West Virginia.
Let's not go there. She and her friends are traveling down near the intersection of Route 32 and Burntwoods Road. And according to the article... Again, by Kelly Woodhouse, Young grabs the wheel of the car. She wasn't driving.
There were like five of them in the car, right?
There were like five of them in the car. She grabs the wheel of the car. Her married boyfriend, was driving the car, and she yells, "I will kill us all." She yanked the steering wheel, causing the vehicle to strike a guardrail, go airborne, and injuring all five passengers. Now, that story could end there, but I love how...
The quotes
afterwards. after according to the charging documents, Brittany told police, "I feel real bad. I hate myself now. I was drunk. I didn't know what I was doing." She told the police she was drunk.
You have the right to remain silent. You have the right to an attorney. These are the times that people ought to think about.
You know, anybody who watches TV should know that. But it gets worse because then she wrote a letter to her friend who was also in the car, kind of explain her actions. And she wrote, "I didn't mean for the accident to happen while you was around. I didn't want to hurt you. I was meaning to hurt John."
A little premeditation there.
Again, you know, of course. Wow. Yeah, the police have that document now, too, so it just gets better. And again, so that's a good way to get your boyfriend's attention.
I suspect that worked. So then our last story we wanted to, I think, chat about was the Clarksville Commons project in here in Howard County that is now stalled. And for those that don't know, this is the project in Clarksville in the River Hill area, which was the old home of the Gateway School on the west side of 108, about an eight-acre site. And it stalled. And this was a project that Ken Allman, our county executive, really wanted to run with.
It was a green project.
It was a green hotel. He was quoted as dynamic, environmentally friendly, and unique mix of stores,
invigorating,
offices, and
I think
hotel.
He said. Didn't he say invigorating?
He does. And it was a classic Howard County-esque type project right now. It was new and different and green and whatever and all that stuff. And it stalled because there's some surrounding property owners that are refusing to give access to the owners or the proposed developers of this project.
Yeah, and you know, the issue is really is that as 108 has evolved and become a commercial corridor down there where it intersects with Route 32 in Clarksville, the county becomes concerned about access points. You don't want too many points where people can pull off the road. So they try to funnel the traffic into controlled access intersections.
Which requires property owners to work with one another to provide less
Join hands, sing kumbaya, right. Work together, make it happen. But you know,
we've talked a lot about property owners' rights. And,
yes.
You know, Steve Kendall, the owner of Kendall Hardware, who's one of the holdouts in making this happen.
Which, by the way, Kendall has been in Clarksville
forever.
Before there was a River Hill.
Right. And they're getting a lot of flack right now because they're supposedly asking for a lot of money to sell an easement to the county to provide access to this new site. And you know what? I don't think people should be strong-armed into doing something with their property they don't want to do.
No.
He's in a good position right now. He's got leverage. And he's doing what any property owner should have the right to do, which is leverage the situation and try to make money on it. What's wrong with that?
And then Larry Carson, in his article in The Sun, kind of pointed out, you know, they try to paint Kendall, and actually to a certain degree, Schultze, too. John Schultze, the Pizza Hut property, which also next to it, has a stake in this, too, for another egress point, I guess, through his property. They're trying to paint them as the bad guys in this deal. Well, I'm sorry. They've been down there doing business in Clarksville, paying property taxes for a long time, and put up with an abandoned building next to them. So I'm not sure if there's any bad...
Is eating pizza recreational? Can we get tax breaks for...
if you eat it at a swim club.
Got it.
If you bring your swim club... A swim club meeting has a meeting
stop,
with pizza.
Stop.
Got to go. Didn't
you... Anyways, it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. But, you know, the concern, as is often the case with these kind of things in the county, is are people going to be strong-armed into doing things using political antics that really we don't like to see or admit go on? And unfortunately, Ken Allman is quoted as saying the county has to protect its interest in full access and provide full access to this property.
Yeah, and kind of telegraphing that he was going to strong-arm an agreement.
Yeah, I hope that's not the case. But, you know, being a broker of an agreement is one thing. But strong-arming private property owners into doing something they don't want to do, I don't think is the role of government.
And you know, Paul, that this is just kind of a harbinger of what we might see in Columbia Town Center. Because anytime you have multiple property owners and you're trying to do an overall master plan and implement it, they got to get to work. They got to learn how to work together. But everybody's going to have their own parochial interest.
But it's got to benefit all the property owners, whatever that means to them individually.
Whatever that means to them individually. And you know, so... The trick is to get them to understand the greater good and somehow make sure everybody comes out with something that helps them. So I'm hopeful they'll work it out because I think the project would be good for Clarksville. I mean, now you've got a vacant lot there. And really, 108 at that part of town, you know, on one side you get the River Hill Village Center, which looks kind of nice, but the other side is kind of messy, and it could be cleaned up.
Right. It needs to be. Enough about that.
Enough about that.
Rachelina, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Her trip from Italy, 3 weeks. That's awesome.
It was fabulous, awesome. Everybody should take 3 weeks and go to Italy.
Good for you. That's great.
And I'm not on the payroll for the Italian Office of Tourism just yet.
But did you visit?
I saw that the Office of Tourism has actually checked out their websites before I went, and some things that they were promoting were absolutely gorgeous and clever. But I mean, forgive me, how hard is it to sell the Italian lifestyle?
They could learn a lot from the department.
Yeah. Good food,
is that what you're saying?
Wine.
Exactly.
It's
one of the most beautiful places in the world with wonderful people and just everything that your heart desires. So,
on our last show, we talked about politicians traveling to other parts of the world in an alleged effort to learn things that they're going to bring back to this community. Perhaps you could be part of our delegation to go to Italy on a semi-annual basis to help the Office of Tourism there better promote its...
And what better way to do that than with a podcast while we're there?
Exactly. We could talk to them about probably setting up a restaurant week's, maybe a ghost tour.
I love it.
That'd be excellent. Rachel, I got to run. I got to go book my flight.
Rachel, first of all, welcome back. The last time we had you on, about a year ago, mm-hmm. we were in the middle of an election, gubernatorial election, and we kind of... I felt bad because we had to share your microphone with Bob Ehrlich, who did not prevail in the election. So, but you did prevail. You're still in job.
I am still here.
And we're honored to have you back.
Thank you.
So thank you for and this time, it's all about you.
Oh, wonderful.
It's all about you.
We're not expecting any visitors, so we should be okay.
I'll keep looking over my shoulder just in case. The mall's pretty busy today.
And the reason we wanted to have you on was, next week, school's out.
Yep.
And it's time for...
Five-week summer, whatever's left.
Right. It's good because we'll be having back-to-school sales before you know it. What are some of the things that families can do and that are the exciting things to do? I mean, we just finished Lake Fest, which was very fun. Columbia Festival of the Arts, and we're in the middle of that.
Yep, still going on. Great activities, for every age, every ability, every budget with the Columbia Festival of the Arts. Just a true celebration of every kind of art that you can enjoy. So please take a peek at their schedule, their calendar, and take advantage of that. That happens right here, right at home. I think a lot of times when you live someplace as wonderful as Howard County, kind of the amenities and the attractions that we have, I don't want to say take for granted, but think that that's the norm. So, get outside and play.
Maybe we look past them sometimes.
I think that they just become part of our world. We believe that the rest of the world has 30,000 acres of parkland and open space and 40 acres and 40 lakes and ponds and 100 miles of trails. Those are amazing amenities that we have. So, school's out.
We have 40 lakes?
40 lakes and ponds. Ponds, can be very big and ponds can
be
very small.
When does a pond become a lake?
I have one in my driveway.
Oh, no. I'll have to get back to you on that, on exactly when a pond becomes a lake.
We're not including stormwater management ponds in that.
We may be, but actually, I think all of our we have no real lakes in the entire state of Maryland, so
they're all man-made lakes.
Yeah, exactly.
I knew that crazy little stat.
Dennis, did you see how she transitioned into that whole lakes thing? That was so well done. You got to learn a little from the transitions that she's able to. That was good.
Yeah, I know my transitions do some work, but it's easy for you to say.
Yeah, I mean, there's just tons of stuff to do. Certainly take a peek at our website. But
let's start with this month. So we got the festival. We're in the middle of the festival.
Middle of the festival. Please take advantage of that. I know with the tourism team, we're getting ready for a plein air at the very beginning of July. So 4th of July is also very big in Howard County. Certainly the fireworks. The festival begins right on Lakefront at 5 o'clock. Kids activities.
It's on Sunday this year.
It is on the 4th itself.
Which is a Sunday.
The 4th is a Sunday. No,
Monday.
It's a Monday.
Monday. And, kids activities and, the fireworks display at 9:30 and just a wonderful family-friendly event that people travel for to Howard County. And then right after that, tourism will, in partnership with the Arts Council, will be hosting a plein air, which will be inviting regional artists into a plein air. It is plein air is kind of a French for like al fresco. So we invite regional artists It is French. Paint directly from life without the assistance of photography, and they're going to descend upon historic Ellicott City, and the little town will be their muse, to inspire them to paint its vistas, its gorgeous homes, its gorgeous gardens.
Is this a one-day event?
It starts on the 7th, and it'll go on. The artists have 3 days to create, and then we quickly display all the work that's been created, and it is for sale. So
neat event.
Where will the work be displayed?
At the Arts Council. So we have an opening reception. The artists paint for 3 days nonstop, and then we close with a reception over at the Arts Council. The work will be on display for about a month afterwards.
Knows where the Arts Council is.
Behind Normandy Shopping Center on
High Ridge Road.
High Ridge Road, mm-hmm. Right. It's a former school, correct?
Former school, yep, repurposed for the Arts Council, and also has studio space. Oh, really?
Rockland Elementary. Really?
Oh, my gosh.
Neat stuff.
As a quick aside, so I'm on the Arts Council board, so when we have board meetings, they usually take place in my third grade classroom. And, you know, you go there, and it's funny how a sound or a smell or music can just have your emotions flood back. And I go to the school, and I just all flooding back. I feel like I'm in third grade, and I'm not doing my homework, and, you know.
Do you have to go to therapy after that, or...?
One of the many reasons.
Do you end up in the principal's office again? That's where I spent a lot of my time.
Why don't we go? No, I'm just kidding. So, question about 4th of July. So, Lake Kittamaqundi has undergone a transformation over the last year. I've joked around about how they've extended their shoreline. And
it actually looks good. You know,
it does look good.
It looks a lot better.
I'm wondering what's going to happen with those little tiny fences they have where they're trying to grow some trees and, I guess, plant some grass. Is that going to get just pummeled and people are going to...
I mean, one hopes not. I'm sure the folks in charge of the festival are going to do whatever they can so that doesn't happen. And I'm sincerely hopeful that folks are respectful of the changes that are going to be happening at Lake Kittamaqundi. The crowd that comes out for 4th of July is not a rough and tough crowd.
Who actually puts on that festival for the 4th of July?
Reckon Parks. Howard County Department of Recreation.
Because it used to be a private group. There used to be a Howard County 4th of July committee back in the...
Yeah, and, you know, and county...
I was on the committee one time.
And it's done by Reckon Parks. They certainly have, you know, some private partnerships, different sponsorships that go on. But, you know, it's really something that people look forward to. And I remember as a little kid, we would travel to Columbia to see the fireworks here. So it's a family tradition. And a really nice thing that we have.
So then we get into July, then you got the plein air. What else
the
we got?
The plein air, and then, you know, I think one of your guys' favorites, we will have Farm to Table Restaurant Weeks coming up starting on July 25th. So our local farms are partnering up with our local restaurants, and they will do the price fix menus featuring locally sourced items that will actually, and those items, where they come from, will actually be named on the menus, which is really wonderful.
So there'll be an association with which farm gave to, or...
Exactly. So you could be reading that the tomatoes came from Lariland, and that the beef came from Woodcamp, and the wine came from, you know, Bordy or something like that.
Now, how many years have you been doing this?
You know, I think we're in our 7th promotion off the top of my head. We do it twice a year for summer and for winter. The summer is incredibly popular because there is such a desire now to find out where your food is coming from and to eat the freshest and to eat in season. And so, and it really is something that we're home to both here in the county, locally owned restaurants and plenty of farms. So the messaging works really nicely for the
county. The farms don't necessarily have to be from Howard County, because you mentioned 40 vineyards. I
mean, no, we do it regionally. Okay. You know, we work with local fishers, local farmers, brewers, growers, and so we, you know, again, promoting Maryland, it dovetails nicely with the Buy Local Challenge that the governor announces. And it's a way to keep small businesses in business.
Well, you know, there's a restaurant out in what I call Poplar Springs. A lot of people refer to it as Mount Airy, called Drover's.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've been, where their whole thing is local. All their food is local.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, was great. I discovered Black Ankle once by going out there.
Yep.
So it's a great way to kind of discover the things that are in your backyard. And
it is very nice that we don't have an agricultural past. It's actually part of our present, and this is a way that, you know, when farms open up their doors for persons to come in and pick at their own, and then one step further opening up their doors to the restaurants, and then the restaurants are bringing menus and food items that are just fresher and tastier, so it's really great.
Now, is this farm to restaurant, is it unique to Howard County, or do the other counties do that as well?
We're the only one that does the farm to table. A lot of folks do restaurant weeks. We were the first kind of county to do it, to my knowledge. It's usually a big city promotion.
Right.
We're the only county that does it thematically. We do a winter one that has this sort of, you know, dine global locally, and then in the summertime we do farm to table. We do that so that ours are a little bit different than everybody else's, because now there's a lot of different counties and a lot of different jurisdictions that do the restaurant weeks, and we want ours to be a little bit different, a little bit better, frankly.
Let me ask you real quick about Wine in the Woods, and we talked about this while you were vacationing in Italy. Wine in the Woods was...
You were probably drinking some wine in Italy.
I was drinking some wine in Italy.
Wine in the Woods, and I know you're only peripherally involved with that organization of that event, but it had, I think, around 40,000 attendees this year, and it almost got a little bit unruly at times. And there's some question, I think, running around town about what is the future of Wine in the Woods? Are we going to need to somehow control it? And I didn't know if you had an opinion about that, or if you're involved
heard
in any
about
of those discussions.
Well, I heard it was, you know, that they had record-breaking numbers.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, a couple things has happened with Wine in the Woods. It is recognized as one of the best managed wine festivals in the region.
Which is a great problem to have.
Exactly. Right. I think also, too, you know, wine is sexy now. I think, you know, when they started out 18, 19 years ago, some folks were like, wine, and the concept wasn't what it is now. So,
Dennis, you were ahead of your time.
So I think, you know,
I've been a wino since a long
you've
time.
You've got, you know, a couple things coming together. It's a really well-organized and managed festival, and then you've got also, it's very trendy now, and we're right smack in the middle between Baltimore and Washington, and it's incredibly successful. There are probably ways where if you're looking to reduce the numbers, you can maybe do that with ticket pricing or perhaps looking for, if you're wanting to continue to grow it, then you may have to look at another venue. But it is quite nice to be home of Maryland's largest wine festival, and persons have a wonderful time. I know when I'm out in the region, people tell me how much fun they had at Wine in the Woods and how they collect the glasses and that it's, you know, they get all their friends together, then they come on out and they make a weekend out of it. So it is a wonderful event that we have, and just beautiful.
Now, we had the head of the Maryland Wine Association on our show. We actually did a show right before Wine in the Woods. And, you know, he pointed out that the number of vendors, I think they had 7 wineries in the first year. Mm-hmm. And this year they had like 29.
It was upwards of 30, yeah.
I was going to say
it's
probably in the high 30s.
And I'm sure what I don't know is whether the crafts have also expanded proportionally to. Do you get feedback from both the wineries and the craft vendors?
We do. It is something that is financially successful for just about everybody involved in that.
Okay.
And, you know, and again, it's, you're talking, you know, wineries are farms, and those vendors are local artists. So you're, kind of keeping those small businesses in business and maybe being introduced to them at this festival and then becoming a longtime customer. So.
And speaking of wineries and farms, you've got to be pretty excited about the new wine legislation that allows wineries.
I am. It's been kind of hard to be the home of the largest Maryland wine festival and yet not to be home to a single winery.
And I know that came up in some of the testimony, when they were trying to pass a bill. Your office will be involved in that as they start to come on.
Oh, absolutely. As soon as they're up and ready and running, we'll be delighted to brag about them and invite people to come on out.
So tell me this. I know we've already had the Columbia Triathlon. I know there are a couple other races coming up later this summer. And they tend to bring in a lot of people from a large area, large geographic region as well. Are those considered to fall under the purview of tourism? And do you... do your members and constituents benefit from those kinds of things?
Certainly. Actually, even in during the, you know, the dip in the economy, sports marketing and sports travel was one of the few areas that remained exactly where it was, and if not kept growing. As many parents out there will know, that no matter how tough times are, you're going to make sure that, you know, Johnny gets to his baseball tournament or his soccer tournament or her basketball tournament. And so that sports travel is something that persons weren't going to give up. The triathlons that we have, and we're actually recognized as an amazing destination for triathlon. If you look at the numbers that are provided to us, I think on an average, persons are coming from between 30 and 40 states beyond Maryland.
Really?
Some from as far away as New Zealand. And these are persons that are spending, their spending habits of triathletes, I think, are only outdone by golfers. These are persons that will spend $10,000 on a bicycle. And they're here in Howard County for 2 to 3 nights, spending, shopping, dining while they're here.
You're using the plurals on triathlons. I know the Columbia Triathlon. What are the others?
There's Columbia Triathlon. There's the Celebration. There's the Iron Girl, which is the largest all-woman triathlon, I believe, in the country, if not the world.
Has that happened yet?
In August. And then the Half Full Triathlon that the Ullman Cancer Fund does in early October has been a smashing success.
Smashing.
And wonderfully organized.
And so, then there's the new one this year, Do the Do, which is the duathlon in early August.
But
Do the Do.
Are you going to do the do?
Dave and I are doing the do.
You're going to do the do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's great.
Impressed. So you've been training?
I have.
Yeah. Good.
Well, again, we have
doesn't
these...
it show?
I was just going to say that. You're looking. Could you take your shirt? No.
But we have these. We have great amenities for this, and when we can lend them to outsiders that come in and spend their time and spend their money in the county, then go home. That money's then reinvested for roads and schools and libraries and the things that our residents need and want.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. We have a new hotel tax.
We do have a new hotel tax,
and that's to help. That some of that money will help your office. Is that correct?
It will certainly help my office. We have been doing a fabulous job in terms of the public relations. In the marketing, the piece that we have, just for financially weren't possible, just to really build a sales team and to get out there in the region and to sell Howard County as a destination for business meetings, for additional kinds of events, and to really do the true role of what is a Convention and Visitors Bureau. So it's an exciting step. I think it's a necessary step. I'm thrilled that the hoteliers thought that, you know, this was a good investment of their monies to create a sales team that brings services back to them and puts heads in beds.
Yeah, they were actually behind this.
It was wonderful. We literally went door to door and we spoke to the leadership of just about every hotel in the county. And we said, we will move forward if and only if we have your support. And we will request it on your behalf. And some of the responses we got was like, geez, I wish you would have started this 3 years ago, or it's about time, or I've worked in another region where, you know, the tourism office has been able to provide us those services, and it makes a really big difference in our bottom line. So it's a big step, it's an exciting step, I'm looking forward to those changes in our office.
Rachel, how do you work collaboratively with other offices like yours in other counties and the state tourism office, while at the same time you're kind of in competition with them because you want to get people to Howard County instead of Anne Arundel County? How do you straddle that line?
I think it makes sense for all of us to work regionally. I think travelers don't see the county lines. I mean, they're coming to Maryland, so I think where you have commonalities and linkages, it makes sense to work together. I think we all learn from each other. I have a terrific relationship with the other 23 tourism directors. We meet every other month, and we're constantly back and phone forth on the phone and on email to each other, and we learn from each other as well. The state of Maryland, I think, has done a great job, sometimes with very limited resources comparatively to the funding in Virginia and Pennsylvania. Maryland really has a lot to offer, mountains, beaches, and all the wonderful places in between, like Howard County.
I want to jump back to the hotels for a minute. Do we have enough hotel rooms in Howard County? Are we underserved?
I think right now the hotels tell us that they think that there is enough inventory at this time.
Of course they're going to say that, but I mean, from your perspective, I mean, what are their average occupancy rates? Do you have any idea what that is?
We have those kind of statistics. I think, what we probably, when we're working the trade show floor and we're talking to customers and they're considering Howard County, what we're kind of hearing is that we could probably use a little bit more square footage on meeting space.
True, yeah.
That is something, yeah.
Turf Valley is...
40,000 square feet at Turf Valley, but anything beyond that, even for attracting sporting events to have an expo, they're looking for at a minimum of 100,000 square feet of meeting space.
Wow.
So I at this time, and if, again, thinking regionally, spilling over into the BWI area and Anne Arundel area, we can probably accept some of those pieces of business. It's the meeting space that I could certainly use a little bit more square footage.
Yeah, I've heard that. Other than specific events, as we're wrapping up here.
We haven't talked about August yet, though.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Talk about August. If there's
anything
specific.
Howard County Fair. 10 days Howard County Fair.
Ah, that's right. The fair. We were out there last year.
Yep.
We were. Maybe we'll go back this year. I don't know. If they'll have us.
Corn dogs, fritters, hot dogs.
That's a big thing.
Cotton
for Howard
candy.
County,
it is. Some of the numbers. I mean, it's thousands and thousands and thousands of folks that come out to the fair.
It continues to grow, correct?
It does. I mean, it's good old fashioned family fun. It's just wholesome. Fun.
And that's the last week of August, or second?
Usually first couple of weeks.
Okay.
But there's also some things that we have in the county that aren't top of mind. We offer hot air balloons riding with a friendship group.
Really?
You can go hot air balloon riding in Howard County
every weekend, or every.
Give them a buzz. They can do sunset and sunrise, what they call sails. They also have some packaging together with the folks over at Turf Valley. So if you want to make sort of a romantic weekend out of it, that you can.
Where do they launch from? Where do the balloons go out from?
They do certainly use Turf Valley as a launch site, but over in West Friendship.
Okay.
And so that's something that's not top of mind for folks.
I did not.
I mean, I've got a lot of hot air, but I didn't know.
I knew the Turf Valley does one in conjunction with Preakness.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
But I did not know that they're separate.
Our state park, the Patapsco Valley State Park is...
one of my favorites. Beautiful park.
One of Maryland's firsts. And it's known...
It's really popular, too, isn't it?
It's 1.1 million visitors a year, which I think is a staggering number. And it's considered by mountain biking enthusiasts as Moab East. So just a terrific place to go mountain biking. It's got paved trails. It's got unpaved trails. And just a lovely oasis between Baltimore and Washington.
Of course, now we're going to also have the skills course that they're going to put over at the Rock Ridge Park.
Yeah,
right? That's been approved, correct?
You guys are I've been out of the country for 3 weeks.
I'm sure somebody will let us know.
I believe it has.
Yeah, I believe it has.
Yeah, someone will definitely let us know in Howard County. But in a Terrapin Adventures, go zip lining, do their, climbing walls. I mean, these are the kinds of things we have right in our backyard that are tons and tons of fun. Gas prices being what they are, there's a lot to do literally just 15 miles away
right
from your home.
Right here in your backyard.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now you can do your wrapping us up there for a minute. But.
Well, I was just going to ask if there are any non-time specific things, and you just talked about a few of them, but I know in Ellicott City, historic Ellicott City, you've had a number of things. There's the train museum.
Yep, we are home.
Oh, they got a Civil War show going. Correct?
Well, anything and everything Civil War is really hot right now. We're in the anniversary of the 150th of the beginning of the Civil War.
And there's quite a few sites here in Howard County.
We have nine newly interpreted sites that are part of the Maryland Civil War Trails program.
Nine.
And you can pick up a map at our office, and you can retrace the footsteps of both Blue and Gray, and finding out military stories, also human interest stories of what life was like here during the Civil War.
And truly, Howard County was divided as well.
Truly divided. And, you know, we were one of the main things that was happening here is we had to protect our roads and we had to protect our rail so that Union troops and goods could be moved back and forth. But certainly, you know, in agrarian society, there were sympathies for the South here as well. But,
right.
You know, we were lucky to be able to tell a story at Savage, you know, in Columbia, in Elk Ridge, throughout historic Ellicott City, out in Lisbon, Cooksville. You know, the Civil War is something that touched just about every corner of the county.
I don't think a lot of people realize, but we actually have a Congressional Medal of Honor award winner from Howard County, from that ward, and it was a
Decatur Dorsey. And we tell his story
slave.
Mm-hmm. We tell his story at the Ellicott City Colored School, which is just outside of the historic district of Ellicott City off of Frederick Road. He was the hero of Petersburg. And the reason why we told the story there is because that school was built by U.S. Colored troops when they came back, and they pooled their monies together to build a school for children.
Awesome story. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Were there any other Congressional Medal of Honor winners from Howard County?
There may have been. That's the one that I know, top of mind.
Right.
But it was fantastic to be able to research those stories. And the neat thing is, more stories are coming out every single day. We have another sign that's that we're working on the story for. We discovered a 1,000-person camp in Ellicott City called Camp Johnson. And the story ran in the paper, and you know, folks have called up, and they're passionate about the Civil War, and they're donating their time to help us do the research. And then another group has come forward from a church in Elk Ridge, and they have a marvelous, marvelous story to tell. And so we're meeting with the Maryland Office of Tourism and local historians, and you know, journalists is joining us as well. And we're going to be able to tell another Civil War story there. So just when you think you've learned everything and been to every nook and corner of the county, you're finding out new stories. And that's what's exciting about what I do.
Fascinating.
Very cool. Well, thank you for all you do.
Sure, thank you.
You guys do a great job, and I'll tell you what, years and years ago when I first heard about tourism and the notion of Howard County having a tourism office, I'm like, what?
I kind of laughed.
You know what? It's true.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff here.
A lot of stuff to do here, and you guys do a great job promoting it.
Well, we appreciate it, and we have a marvelous product to sell. We do, and no 2 days are ever alike, and busy's good, so...
Well, thank you for coming back for a full show this time, too.
Thank you, but, you know, if someone far more important is hovering behind, feel free to bump me.
Well, there's a huge crowd trying to get to the microphone, but we decided to keep you in that seat.
It's not the fish people, right?
So they're in jail.
Good luck with the rest of the summer, and thanks.
Thank you.
That about wraps up yet another episode, and then there's that, together with my co-host, Paul Scowney. We'd like to thank our producer, Dave Bittner, for making us look good on the Internet, and to General Growth Properties and the Mall in Columbia for hosting our show again today. We'll be back again on July 1st with special guest Andrea Ingram, the Executive Director of Howard County's Grassroots Crisis Center. We hope you join us.